Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The 393rd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by our Patreon. Score exclusive perks, content, and contests, including our NFL Wins Totals contest with a $1,000 prize. Join today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon.
Hi, yo, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 393. It's going out to my brother, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, bro. And thank you for coming to the podcast. I am back. I'm not just back in your holes, but I'm back actually winning on my picks. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox, and it wasn't just chalky last night. I hit some dogs, a big dog. Actually, both of them were fairly big by my standards. So we'll get all into that in one moment when we break down, recap UFC on ESPN. Sanhagen versus Font. Let's bring in the man who I finally beat after getting beat by him for a few weeks in a row. It's his time of year. It's Gumby season. It's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, we're to contender series, so I'm going to let you have this one. I'm not even going to battle back with excuses for why I lost picks, because I'll be honest, with the exception of the Jeremiah, well, I guess there's two that kind of bugged me. The Jeremiah Wells one bugged me. What is he doing throwing haymakers like that after winning two rounds easily? He actually got a 10-8 round, too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the
first I had round, him, too, though, so yeah, you can't one, complain.
The one I will complain about is how damn good Damon Jackson looked in the first round. He basically fought directly as I drew it up to beat Billy Quarantillo, and then just, like, no gas for the second and third. Just, like, completely out of gas.
His performance matches hairline once you hit round two.
It's a little disappearing.
he just looked like an old guy, but yes, disappearing as well. Yes.
Yeah, and is he he's not as old as we think he is.
No,
right?
No, he's the same age as Quarantillo, I think.
I don't think
there was any age discrepancy. So
he's actually younger than Billy Quarantillo.
Is he by a few months or something, right?
Yeah, by like 2 months. He's like 2 months. Yeah.
There you go.
That's wild, man.
Yep.
Those guys are both a year older than me. Wasn't ready for that.
Well, you haven't been getting punched in the face for decades, so you're aging well.
That's true. I also, dude, Billy Quarantillo is aging better than Damon Jackson, but this is not an aging podcast.
No, it's not. There's plenty of those out there already.
Yeah, I'm assuming. Sure. I don't listen to any of them, but I'm sure they're out there.
Why doesn't Dan listen to him? Because he's busy watching Inca FC.
I was watching.
That's a fight promotion, apparently.
I watched no less than three fights from Inca FC over the last 2 days, and you'll hear more about that if you listen to our episode, which will drop later today. Yeah, that's right. We're on the contender series schedule, which means you get two in your ear holes on Sundays, ladies and gentlemen.
That means I have twice the work to do. Great. Thanks, people. Thanks, people. But anyhow, that means I have less work to do tomorrow. That's all that means. So, yes, we have to get through this damn UFC recap before we can actually talk about the real fights on Contender Series, right?
Yeah, and this was kind of a fun one to talk about. I think even though I went 6-6, which ain't all that pretty, there's still some, like, meaningful things that we should all talk about from this fight.
Yeah. No, it was a good card. I've heard people saying it's not a good card, but I think it wasn't a fun card. But every fight, I think, was at least decent until the main event.
I think the only reason people have an issue with it is because it had the exact same amount of knockouts as the MLB did on Saturday.
Yes. Check the SGPN MMA Twitter account if you don't know what we're talking about, but Gumby posted a really good MLB fight. And speaking of MLB, Gumby and I are making MLB picks at sportsgamblingpodcast.com now daily, and we're killing it there. I'm 11-1. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think I'm 10-4. But I hit a nice plus 120 prop on Kenta Maeda over on strikeouts. His line was 5.5, and he totaled up 7 against the Diamondbacks, who don't strike out that much. So felt pretty good about that.
So we're going to do a hostile takeover of the MLB gambling podcast very soon. Maybe we'll keep Malcolm on. He can stay on board, but the rest of those guys, we're kicking them out. We're taking over.
I don't know. I find myself when I'm listening to that, and I don't know if he's right all the time, but Lante is very, very persuading. Every time I hear him like run down 35 straight stats in 30 seconds.
It's true.
Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I have to bet that. Like, he just convinces me that he knows who's going to win before it actually happens. And I think he's probably got a good hit rate. You know, he's a smart guy. He's clearly putting the time into it. But, like, man, is he convincing, too.
Yep, you got to be persuasive. It's true. But yeah, no, but we're not really taking over. We don't have time for more podcasts. We're already giving you guys 4 a week on MMA here. And then Gumby's got his Top Turtle podcast. We're busy guys. So we'll, but the MLB is just a side hustle that we're really, really, really good at, right?
Yeah. Oh, I watch a ton of MLB. So it's easy.
There you go. Anything that starts with an M, Gumby will watch. Even, you watch MLB even over Inca FC or Samurai Fight House, or
sometimes I dual screen Samurai Fight House with like an Oakland A's game.
Oh boy, same level, right? Same level,
roughly the same level. Yeah, roughly the same level.
Luckily, we saw higher level competition last night. UFC on ESPN, Sanhagen versus Font, went down in the Bridgestone Arena, Nashville, Tennessee. 17,792 people in attendance, over a $2 million gate. So maybe we're going to see less and less UFC Apex shows if UFC keeps pulling in large gates everywhere they go around the country, because it would just make dollars and cents to do that. So despite all the decisions, we had 4 finishes out of the 12 fights, or 5 finishes. 5 finishes.
Five.
Was there 5? 5.
Yeah, you're missing the
final answer. Yes, 5. Yeah, we had 3 in a row. Yeah, we had 5 finishes. But every fight, like I said, was good, except for the main event. The main event is what people are complaining about, but it was a tactical fight, and it made sense for the person who fought that way. We'll dive all into that after I tell you about our Patreon. Yes, SGPN has a Patreon, and it helps keep the lights on here. So make sure you check it out. Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon is perfect for the diehard degen, which if you're listening to this, you're surely a diehard degen. Sign up for the Patreon to get access to exclusive contests, including the NFL win totals contest with $1,000 first place prize. So you can win money. You pay a little bit and you win a lot. Plus a monthly SGP stories podcast, an ad-free uncensored show highlighting the best stories from decades of being degens. There's even a Discord channel just for patrons. Sports Gambling Podcast has and always will give out all their picks for free. Patreon is a great way to support the network and fight back against corporate gambling. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/PATREON. All right. As I told you what we were going to talk about, we will go right to the main event. We got it right. Corey Sandhagen defeated Rob Font. Unanimous decision, 50-45 across the board. Only thing, at least I didn't get right, is I wrote it was going to be a war and a bloody battle. It was neither of those things. It was, I guess, it's hard to say because we like Corey Sandhagen. It's hard to say this, but it was kind of a lay and pray performance for Corey Sandhagen, a controlling performance, a smothering performance. He took Rob Font down and then didn't do too much. Luckily, I was watching it delayed, so I got to watch it at double speed because I'm like, oh, nothing has happened here. Every round is the same as the round before. Sandhagen takes down Font, doesn't do much, but does enough to win the round and enough to win the fight and to get... The main thing here is people have to remember this gets him his second half of his paycheck, and probably Sandhagen is probably making 6 figures. So he probably are close to it. So he, performing like that guaranteed himself, extra 100K or something in the bank account for the family. So you can't really blame him for fighting the way he did.
Yeah. And you know, I still think he's probably in line for a title shot here at the end of the day. You know,
if it's it's a meritocracy, but what else?
What else do you got there, though? So let's say August rolls around, end of August rolls around, and Aljamain Sterling does exactly what we think he's going to do, which is take Sean O'Malley down 6 seconds into the fight, backpack him and choke him out. And if he does that and says, you know, screw it, I'm done with 135, and you send him up, he gets to fight Volkanovski or maybe a number one contender fight against Max Holloway or something like that, and you vacate his belt, Sanhagen Dvalishvili, right? Because like you're not going to be able to just roll O'Malley right back out there to get the same thing to happen to him, right? Like you can't, as long as he loses, O'Malley loses the way I expect him to lose, you can't then say, oh, well, let him do it to Aljamain Sterling's teammate, who is literally, you know, a more smothering version of Aljamain Sterling with a little bit less jujitsu, right? And like a better gas tank. So I don't think you'll be able to roll it back. I don't think O'Malley will want to roll it right back to a title shot. He'll probably want to go back to the drawing board. And so, like, while he does that, it will probably be Sanhagen versus Dvalishvili. And I don't see anything wrong with that. And I actually think it's a pretty intriguing fight because, as Corey Sanhagen showed this past weekend, the dude can wrestle. And like, apart from, like, giving up one, like, real ugly takedown to Aljamain Sterling, which I'm not going to say is a fluke, but it was, like, he was clearly not his best that day. I think he could maybe hang with Dvalishvili because his wrestling holds up.
And this is a rarity for us to say that Corey Sanhagen fight was boring as well. The man bleeds. He's just bleed.
Well, and like he said, he wasn't 100%, which, you know, I know I mentioned in the Discord this morning for anybody who's in there, is like no fighter's 100%. But he said he was banged up and he thought about possibly pulling out because he was injured and all that kind of stuff. Then he gets an opponent change at the very last second. And it's, you know, Rob Font is a 180-degree turn from who he was supposed to fight in Umar Nurmagomedov. So, like, he could have stood and traded with Rob Font for 25 minutes. And I'm still pretty confident he would have come out there with a win. But, like, why? You know, like, for what? Unless, like, you know, you think only that war was going to get you the title shot. I mean, he did just absolutely manhandle Rob Font on the ground all the time. So, you know, props to him for that. He fought the smart way. He got it done easy, seemingly, even with an injury. I think he's probably no worse for the wear, can heal up and wind up with that title shot.
Do you think your scenario that you played out earlier with Sterling winning, vacating and moving up, do you think that is what's going to happen?
I mean,
how sure are you of that?
He's hinted at that. He said pretty much that O'Malley's the last guy on his checklist, which makes sense, okay, right? Because he beat Henry Cejudo, a big name in the division, a guy who's like a legacy fight. He's beat, he beat Corey Sanhagen. If he beats Sean O'Malley, like, there's like a rematch with Sanhagen in there. He's not going to fight Merab. They already said they're not going to fight. So, like, otherwise, we're just waiting for the bottom of this division to shake itself out and to see, you know, one of those up and comers finally take the step forward, right? Because there's a bunch of those guys down there, right? They're the Jonathan Martinez's of the world and the Mario Batistas and the, you know, even to an extent, the Kyler Phillipses. And like, they're all way off. They got time to get there. He'd be fighting a bunch of rematches until they got there. So, you know, I don't think he needs to do any of that. And I also think he believes that Merab Dvalishvili deserves to be a champion. So, like, he can move up. He's cemented his legacy at bantamweight if he goes in there and submits Sugar. So I think he's going to do it.
Right. Let's do it, Dan. Make it happen. Let's make it happen. All right. So that was the main event. We hit that. Thank you very much. It wasn't a very good line, though. It was -315. Neither was the co-main event, but I hit my special prop play here. Tatiana Suarez via submission, I had at +128, so I was happy to hit that. Both of us hit her at -330 on the money line, but we thought the line was a little off, a little too high to play just the money line. So we recommended playing some sort of stoppage inside the distance thing. Luckily, the submission one did come through for me because she submitted former champ Jessica Andrade, guillotine choke, 131 in the second round. Without much difficulty, really. Like, Andrade didn't really get much going in this fight. Suarez pretty much was in control the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, this was what we were hoping Tatiana Suarez is. You know, I said on the show, you know, we still haven't seen her consistently put a bunch of performances together, and we've seen her look really good, and then we've seen her off for years, and, you know, she was at flyweight last fight, and now she's coming to strawweight and fighting a woman who is in flyweight, and, like, you know, there were a lot of moving factors, but, man, did she just look exactly like she was supposed to? Great takedowns. She wasn't even necessarily real deep on him. She just gets a hold of that ankle and she makes it happen from there, which I think makes her maybe even more deadly than somebody who is in on the takedowns all the time, because she can, like, she can shoot from wherever. She can shoot from 10 feet away. And as long as she gets a finger on you, you're going down. Yep. And that was really impressive. And then on top of that too, her submission game is just sick. It's so good. I don't know that I've seen a woman's jiu-jitsu game look as good as hers, maybe ever. You know, ever. I think her sense of submissions is, like, because, like, look, Mackenzie Dern, like, tournament jiu-jitsu, really good, right? Yeah. But, like, Mackenzie Dern goes for a lot of shit that's not there, right? Like, she sometimes holds on to a choke and you're like, well, that's not in. Or sometimes she picks up her hips and looks for an armbar and you're like, well, that's not there. When Tatiana Suarez is on something, you know it's over. You know she's got it exactly where she wants to. So she's very much a position over submission jiu-jitsu type. But, man, her positioning is just so good, and I think it's the way she blends her jiu-jitsu with her wrestling. And also her, like, aversion to risk. She's not a risky fighter in any way, shape, or form. She just does the best thing. I said in the Discord last night, I'd pick her to beat Weili Zhang tomorrow.
I think I would, too.
Yeah, I think if you squared them all, and I think we'd get dog money on it.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
I think we'd get dog money on it. I think she'd beat her. And I think she deserves the next title shot. No offense to Yan Xiaonan. Yan Xiaonan caught Jessica Andrade with a punch and won a fight there. And that was the last time she won. She's been off for a little while. I don't know if she's been promised a title shot or what's keeping her out. But, man, this, I'll be honest, I think this is more impressive than the knockout.
Yeah, but we have Amanda Lemos is the next one up, apparently, right? That's Boston, right?
Yeah, that's Boston. So that's two weeks away.
Is it? Okay.
So yeah, right. So that just tells me that Weili Zhang and Tatiana Suarez's time frames are going to line up perfectly.
Yes, and hopefully, we got to get Suarez. Well, she's fought twice already this year, so that's a good sign right there, because she was not out for so long, and she's a good story, you know. Overcoming injuries, overcoming cancer when she was younger, like, she's definitely a good story. A thing that I noticed last night, maybe I'm being a conspiracist, which I usually tried not to be, is John Anik mentioned in her corner was Bellator interim champion Patchy Mix. You never hear them say Bellator before, or I've never noticed them mention Bellator before on a broadcast.
Yeah, that was pretty random.
Did that stand out too to you?
It did, especially after we just talked about Padgy Mix's profile being on UFC.com.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you know, I don't think this means the UFC bought them, but it's a weird thing for them to have on there. Somebody said the AI seems to be aggregating all of the names of MMA fighters and just putting them on UFC.com, which is a weird, like, data mining kind of thing that they're doing, if that is in fact the case.
But
at the end of the day,
John Anik is not AI.
Right. Exactly. And that was a little bit of the tip. Also, what a power couple, right?
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Apache Mix and Tatiana Suarez's submission games are phenomenal.
Who wins a wrestling match between those two? That's I guess he's a higher weight class. So
yeah, he's
probably not fair.
Oh, is he? He's not that much higher, right? He's 30, 35. Yeah. I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah. 35.
I didn't watch all the post match interviews because they're not worth my time, but I did catch her saying double champ. Like, no, we're not starting that already. You're not even a champ of one weight class, and you're talking double.
To be fair though, if she goes after, you know, and she's clearly going after the strawweight one first, she's submitted the current 25 champ. So, like, her desires and her putting it out there is just like, hey, like, better market myself as good as I possibly can, because let's face it, she beat Montana De La Rosa at flyweight. She probably could have finagled her way to fighting, like, somebody like Caitlin Chookagian and demanded, you know, Grasso versus Suarez too. Like, the path might have even been easier at flyweight.
Yeah, It's true, but I don't want a Henry Cejudo here where she wins and then immediately goes up to be double champ. I want to see some defenses. First, yes. She's got to win the
agreed.
Belt.
Agreed.
Got to win the belt first, so we shall see. Her striking game seems to continue to evolve as well. It's not like she was spectacular last night, but she kept herself safe against a dangerous fighter like Jessica Andrade. So that is good to see as well, because that's pretty much all that Zhang will have over her is the striking. So if her striking defense is on point, then yeah, she should at least be single champ before we move to double champ. So we hit a underdog light heavyweights, third from the top, Dustin Jacoby. TKO punches Kennedy Nsechukwu, minute 22 into the first round. He stunned him on the feet and Chukwu went down. Pretty much the guys in Sphere MMA were saying this as well. Nsechukwu pretty much did what you should do to protect yourself. It's not like Jacoby swarmed him, but it's not like he was getting through his defense with a lot of strikes. But I've suggested more MMA fighters do this. Just swarm your opponent. Even if you're not landing punches more often than not, the ref nowadays will stop the fight. And that's what happened. The ref stopped the fight. But do you agree that Jacoby really wasn't getting through with a heck of a lot of punches when the fight got stopped?
Yeah, but I'm not sure it changes the outcome. You know, I think he was still, you know, there was no need for Kennedy to take any more abuse than he already was. He got hit real hard. I'm also just like, I have to say this, not to completely change the subject about the stoppage, but like, I'm so happy that Dustin Jacoby did what I drew it up. I said he had to do in order to win this fight is that like when Kennedy gets a little nuts, cause he gets a little bit more risky. He's got to make him pay and make him pay hard. Cause otherwise he'll just keep taking those risks and getting on him. And he did. And like, I think the narrative on Dustin Jacoby not being a finisher needs to go out the window. Cause that's 3 of 5 of his last 5 wins that he's finished. And you know, we picked up a nice, if you were in the Discord, there were a couple of us on that, plus 400 Dustin Jacoby knockout prop, which is,
fantastic.
Yeah. Not a bad way to pick up your, subpar night.
Yeah. We had Jacoby on the money line plus 140. Plus despite he entered that fight ranked number 15, he was on a 2-fight losing streak. So losing that fight, you know, may have got him cut. You never know. Three losses in a row, even if you're a ranked fighter, can get jacks, especially around contender series season. So it's good to see him get a win because he's a good guy and fun to watch fight. So glad we get to see him fight another day here. Featherweights, the young Brazilian Brian Wilson came through for me. Diego Lopez took care of the one half of the fade, the Canadian picks that I had here. He armbarred Gavin Tucker, minute 38 in the first round. Pretty nasty armbar. I'm not sure if it was a verbal submission or...
No, he tapped on the far leg.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
If you get the other angle on it, when he rolls over into the mount, he taps.
There was speculation that his arm had broken or his elbow had broken. But look, he was moving it. Tucker was moving his arms okay after the fight, which was good to see because he's already missed enough time as it is. We don't want him to be on the shelf again. Despite all this, I am glad I had Lopez at minus 150. Is he good, though, Dan? Have we seen enough yet to know whether or not he's good or not?
So I think his jiu-jitsu is maybe one of the best at featherweight. Because to do that to Gavin Tucker, it seemed really high level. I do wonder what would have happened if Gavin Tucker was just like, nah, we're not wrestling here. Which, if you listen to my breakdown on Thursday, I said, you know, I think Tucker is a good enough wrestler that he won't have to go to the ground. And I think he's a better striker. And he hits harder, which is why I had Gavin Tucker in this fight. And, you know, he chose to wrestle to try to, you know, clearly take this round. And on the ground, he just like, he wasn't even close to being able to hang with Lopez, which just shows you how high level Lopez's jiu-jitsu is. So, yeah, I think his jiu-jitsu is really good. I'm curious as what's going to happen when he faces some of these featherweight guys who can say, nah, we ain't grappling today, but we're going to do this one on the feet. You know, like what happens when he runs into, and I think he's probably lined up for a fight like this now. What happens when he runs into Nate Landwehr? Like Nate Landwehr low key can wrestle. He was an M1 global champion by stuffing a bunch of Russian guys trying to shoot on him all the time. And that dude throws hands. So like, what does Lopez do if, you know, he's just going to throw hands with Nate Landwehr for 15 minutes. Can he get Nate Landwehr down? I just don't know if I've seen enough of the like wrestling acumen of Lopez to make the determination that he can like win fights that other people don't lose. You know what I mean by that? But man, his jiu-jitsu is good. It's so fun to watch.
Yep, that was good. Tucker is a Henzo Gracie black belt, so he knows what he's doing on the ground. You think Tucker gets to live another day? 37, lost two straight fights, hasn't been very active.
Let's see.
Are we going to send him back to Newfoundland?
He beat Billy Quarantillo.
Yeah. Don't do MMA math, Dan.
Yeah, but sometimes like a win over somebody meaningful, and the loss is to Ige. I think he gets one more.
I hope so, yeah. Maybe I'll get to fade my fellow Canadian once again. So that underdog didn't come through, but one place where underdogs will always come through for you is Underdog Fantasy. That was a fantastic transition. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. That was one of my best. The NFL season is right around the corner. Underdog Pick'em is a great way to get down on a ton of NFL player props and is available in a ton of markets. Plus, plenty of opportunities to win in their daily MLB contests. And of course, make sure to enter Best Ball Mania 4. Where first place gets $3 million. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. I always ruin my fantastic transitions by announcing it was a good transition, and that just ruins the transition. Let's transition.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
To a losing pick for me. This was the other half of the Fade the Canadian parlay. Gumby actually played a Canadian parlay that didn't come through, but the first half came through. Tanner Boser. This was one of the fights that was It was all right because Boser kind of turned on, put his foot on the gas near the end of the fight, but he had more than enough to take care of Alexa Kamer. 30-27 across the board. I thought I'd roll the dice on Kamer because I wasn't impressed with either guy heading into this. I was distracted the whole fight because I didn't realize how much Alexa Kamer looked like Frank Zappa until last night. I'm like, wow, that's Frank Zappa. I wonder if he knows who his father is.
That's pretty great because you got Frank Zappa and Brian Wilson. Good for you. Yes. On the same card. Tanner Boser did exactly what I expected here. So much faster, so much sharper with his striking. I got to give it a Kamer though. That dude has got a rock solid head. I don't know how he didn't go down.
he rocked Boser at least once. He stunned him, but then Boser came. It seemed to anchor him, and he came back harder.
Yeah, when also like the ones he's stunning him with, for the most part, like nothing straight from Kamer. I think that's probably his biggest detriment is like everything's real wide. All of his shots are so unless you tuck one behind the ear or hit him right on the chin. You're usually not doing too much damage with those big wide shots. Not the way you are with the big straight ones that slap people's heads back. And that's what Boser was doing to Kamer. Kamer was doing the damage, Boser was doing the damage with straight shots. So,
yeah, Kamer will have plenty of time on the regional scene to work on his craft now after this fight, more than likely, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine he gets another shot here, and that's a shame because I think he's got a lot of potential. But that is three straight losses, and one of those is to Thick Willie, William Knight.
And who'd he beat, Dan?
Justin Ledet. Justin Ledet, and if you want to count contender series, Fabio Chiarot.
It's not a great crew.
No,
but he can start. He can front a Zappa tribute band and travel around the Cleveland, Ohio area, so which is where he's from. So there you go, in the very least. So Gumby hit that. Good job, Gumby. We both did not hit this one. Ignacio was as big as we expected him. He hasn't shrunk at all. He's still a large man. But Ludovic Klein was a bit better than we were given credit for, at least in this fight. 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. He came out the gate, like the first round, Klein took care of business and kind of got Bahamonis on his heels, and then he really didn't let up from there. So I was thinking Klein was, maybe Klein will get cut if he loses. That's three wins in a row for him. He's been sneakily winning fights behind my back.
Yeah, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. He came out, he got that takedown. I think Baja Mondays was just afraid he was going to get taken down the rest of the time, just stopped, you know, letting go of his jab as much as he needs to, stop throwing his front kicks the way he needs to. And yeah, it just wound up costing him the fight. I did like that he won the second round, came back strong in that second round, yeah. But you know, it just was one of those things where he wasn't his full self on the feet, 'cause he was worried about the mat.
Yeah. He's still young, 25 years old. So, future could still be bright for him, because he has a good package of skills, and obviously his size is unparalleled at lightweight. So and he looks like Miguel Angel Torres, so that's always a positive.
And right? he looks like every other tall fighter from South America who I keep conflating him with. Like,
exactly.
I think I said it in the Discord too, that the person I was thinking of when we broke him down on Thursday was Daniel Zellhuber. I thought he was, yes, Daniel Zellhuber.
Even Gumby gets confused sometimes about these fighters. So we both went 4-2 in the main card, which is good. Sometimes we crap out on the main cards and do okay the prelims, but last night went all right on the main card. Prelims is where Gumby crapped out. You got to bring back prelim primer, and prelim pick'em and prelim picker and all those podcasts and writing used to do, Dan, because you're losing your edge in the prelims.
Well, there's two fights in here that could have gone the other way, though. I could have very easily been 4-2 here.
No, I know. It's true. Let's break it down. The first one went the way we hoped it would. Kyla Phillips defeated Haoni Barcelos. 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. Good fight. Barcelos is got a lot of dog in him, as they like to say. Definitely gave the young Phillips all that he could handle, but Phillips was just too fast and too athletic and pretty much sharp everywhere. Really good when anytime Barcelos would get him down, he would be offensive off of his back and not just be content to lay in his back like so many fighters are, especially guys that are good at jiu-jitsu. No, he worked, like I said, worked his offense, and if that didn't work, then he would get himself up immediately. So good performance by Phillips.
Yep, not much to say here. Fast guy beats old guy. And that was pretty much our breakdown.
And hopefully his piss does not melt any test tubes this time, and he can book another
fight. You'd actually enjoy the win.
Yep, enjoy the win and book another fight. All right, welterweights. This one was the gut shot of the night. Luckily, I had a bunch of other picks come through. But yeah, this one hurt. Jeremiah Wells did exactly what we would expected. Just so explosive and dominant in the wrestling realm. Almost had Carlson Harris submitted a few times, and then he got himself submitted, a very strange submission. And of course, our wise announcers, Dominic Cruz, is so good at this. Mentioned right before Wells didn't tap out. No, he went unconscious right before he mentioned that. He said there's no way he's going to get submitted from this angle, but he did. Technical submission, anaconda choke, 150 into the third round. Wells looked good up to that point, but then he didn't.
Well, he looked good up until the third round started, and he was throwing wild haymakers. Because, like, what was working for him was he wasn't overextending himself, and he was keeping himself in good position to hit the takedowns, to be in advantageous positions, you know, to leg ride and do all the other good things. And then he started throwing haymakers. And I know it was because he was up and he was feeling confident, but, hey, that's sometimes the price you pay for hubris here. So, he's definitely better than Harris. I think we had this fight pegged perfect.
Yeah.
Sometimes in MMA, these things happen.
It's true. Hopefully he learns from this, his first UFC loss. But the issue is the guy's going to be 37 in a couple months. So it's not like, he's in his early 20s and, you know, you can take your time and learn from stuff. He's kind of got to get going here. So hopefully, like we said, he learns from this and is better next time out. Featherweights. I had Billy Quarantillo, and he came through. He beat Damon Jackson, as we mentioned off the top. 29-28 across the board. First round, Jackson came out guns a-blazing. Looked really good striking. Surprisingly, it was not the grappling that was grappling was in there, but the striking, which is what really stood out. But if anyone who's watched Billy Q fight before, they know, you know, that just gets him warmed up, and he put it on him the second and third round. This may have been the worst commentating by Dominic Cruz and Bisping a little bit. This fight, this was a very clear first round Jackson, second round Quarantillo, third round Quarantillo, but Dominic Cruz made the very wise statement that when Damon Jackson hit a takedown with a minute left, like, oh, this might win the round for him. And then he very quickly, the fight was not on the ground any longer, and he continued to get beat up on the feet. So and then after the fight, Bisping mentioned how, I don't know who won. That was really close, but in my eyes, it was pretty clear cut. It was a pretty easy fight to score, but that's why I don't usually listen to the commentators.
Yeah, I that was pretty bad. But that being said, I already kind of mentioned this. It's just a shame to see, you know, exactly the stylistic matchup happen that I wanted in round one, only to have rounds two and three go the opposite way for me because he's out of gas. Yeah. But, you know, hey, maybe that's what happens when you start to hit your mid-30s here.
Yep. I hope Damon Jackson gets to stick around a little bit. Like, he's already been cut before in the past. You know, he's looked good, but now he's lost two straight, so you never know.
He also has his own gym now. So it's starting to – he does have a win over Pat Sabatini and a loss to Dan Ige. Stop me if you've heard this before, because I believe that's what we just said about Gavin Tucker. He has this one good win, but he also lost to Dan Ige. But yeah, no, I don't know. I hope he sticks around too. He might not be sticking around much longer himself anyway. Yeah. Now that he has his, because he opened the second Fortis location now. There's another MMA, cool. And it's Damon Jackson owned. So yeah. So like he might be on his way out anyway.
Yep. So I hit Quarantillo. Good fight. Flyweights, Cody Durden, he came through for me. He beat Jake Hadley 30-27 across the board. Pretty dominant fight, even though he did get himself caught in a really gnarly straight armbar. He was clearly grimacing. It was well over a minute that he was stuck in that armbar, and I was afraid he was going to tap, but he did not. But yeah, Durden had more than enough for Hadley on the feet and on the ground. It wasn't just a boring grinded out on the ground when he was picking Hadley off on the feet too. So Durden may be someone we have to look out for at flyweight because he's on a bit of a roll now. I think that's four straight wins for him.
Yeah, I think we should probably keep our eye on Cody Durden, but I will say, and correct me if I'm wrong, really terrible scorecards for everybody here, right? How in the hell does
second round was close, I think, but
he would have thought at least one.
Yeah, but he was right before that. He was almost submitted himself. That's the thing. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
So just so you know, if you go on MMA decisions, you are the only person who would be arguing, including the Sherdog crowd, that Jake Hadley did not win round two. Literally,
well, every correct then, don't I?
Literally every media member has it 29-28. The only people who had 30-27 were the actual judges of that fight. You can't be that deep in an armbar, no matter unless you were damn near unconscious earlier in the round. Yeah. You can't be that deep on an armbar where it looks like you're hyperextended and somehow win the round. Like it would have had.
You're a deflecting though, Dan, that I got this pick right and it was an underdog and you did not. Stop deflecting.
Yeah. I mean, I told everybody the number was ludicrous, like never play. I said it was a dog or pass spot. So, I mean, like still the read I expected here. And maybe Durden's somebody to watch, but like, look, it's not like Jake Hadley has some like sterling record where we're like, oh, you know, Jake Hadley's a hyper prospect and a guy to keep an eye on. Like, this is a guy who recently lost to Alan Nascimento too, right? And like,
yeah,
are we writing home about Alan Nascimento? Yeah. Like,
the shine is off him, isn't it? He didn't look so hot on the Contender Series, right? And then he definitely didn't look hot once he entered the UFC. He hasn't really lived up to the hype behind him, right?
Yeah, I mean, he looked all right on Contender Series. He fought kind of a iffy prospect in Mitch Raposo, who's a Northeast guy, but always like a Northeast guy who's kind of beat up a bunch of cans. So, you know, like I think he looked good enough. But like, yeah, he's just I don't know that Cody Durden would be, you know, a lot of the guys who can wrestle in this division. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he already lost to Mokaev. And now he's beaten like kind of like a who's who of like lanky guys who couldn't stop his wrestling. So like if you put him with like a Tim Elliott type, like I think he just gets beat.
Yeah, probably. We'll see. Maybe that's who he'll get matched up with next. But let's not take away the fact I hit a plus 165 dog on Durden. So that was a good start or early start to the night there. We both had Sean Woodson. It was pretty easy pick. It was a catchweight fight against Dennis Bazooka, who did come in overweight as well. Can't really blame a guy who took a fight on a couple of days notice if he comes in a little overweight. But that's what happened. And he got outclassed 30-27 across the board. I think you were saying this in the Discord, Bazooka isn't UFC caliber.
I don't think so. And I know there's been like a couple of like MMA pundits, like prospect guys who I trust their opinion, who, when he got signed, were like, oh, thank God, finally.
The guys in the Discord, I think, were kind of high on him, too. I don't think they were picking him to win, but I thought some people were thinking he was a decent prospect.
Maybe, but, like, the there were people out there who were like, man, this is long overdue. And I was like, did you guys remember his fight on Contenders? Like, it wasn't good. Like, he was, like, one of the only people who won and didn't get a contract that season because that's how dull his fight was. And it wasn't dull in a way that, like, oh, he's just got really good wrestling and you don't know what you're watching. His, like, wrestling kept failing up against the cage against the guy who, like, didn't have great wrestling defense. And his striking didn't look sharp. And, I mean, we just saw all that again, right? Sean Woodson beat the tar out of him. And anytime he got close to the cage and, like, held him on the cage for a second, like, Woodson kneed him in the stomach twice and got out of there. And, like, I don't know who Dennis Bazooka or Bazookia. Bazookia beats at featherweight. I think almost every featherweight in the UFC beats that guy.
Yeah, but you step in a short notice, you pretty much guarantee yourself at least two fights. So fade him next time for his next fight. And then in the opener, sadly, we missed on our underdog here. This was not even close. I think Ode Osborne is going to get buried by us here. Asu Almabayev took care of Ode Osborne. Apparently that was Ode Osborne in the cage. He didn't really look like him the way he fought. He got submitted rear neck choke, 3-11 in the second round. Osborne did nothing the whole fight.
Yeah, Almabayev looked a little bit better than I thought he was going to.
Yep.
You know, I like knocked his wrestling. He shot from too far away. He didn't necessarily a little bit. Maybe not as bad as I thought he was going to. And the difference was just like Ode didn't look like he had any defensive wrestling anymore. And he looked slow. Looked unwilling to throw his jab at times. Like, yeah, I don't know what to say about that version of Ode. I hope that's not the last we see of him because I know there's a lot better versions of him in there. And this is kind of disappointing to watch. So, not much to say about that other than, you know, Almabayev might be a little better. Ode is definitely better than what we saw.
Yes, Suri, or at least he was last time we saw him. So that concludes the night. I went 8-4, won $200. So that was nice to finally get back in the winning column. I'm still only at 58% on the year, which isn't good enough for me. So we're going to get that well over 60 again, hopefully soon. Gumby 6-6, lost 220. He's at 54%. I'm ahead by $900 and 4%. But
there's still time.
Yes, there we go. Gumby's usually pretty good with the locks, docks, and props. Not last night. He whiffed on all three. Yeah, Wells, Tucker, and Bahamones via knockout. I whiffed on two, but I hit the one. I had Wells, I had Osborne, but then I had Suarez via sub. So that was nice. Nice of her to make me look good on that one. And then Super Hunger Man, Jog, Superman, Parley. Usually we get half of it right. Bozer via KO didn't happen. Wells via KO didn't happen as well. But better luck next week because there's always a next week with the UFC, Dan, and there is. We got Luque versus Dos Anjos coming up this coming Saturday, August the 12th. They are back at the UFC Apex right after I said how maybe they'll do more shows on the road. This one's actually back in the Apex. UFC and ESPN, Luque versus Dos Anjos, a.k.a. UFC Vegas 78, August the 12th. Main event, Vicente Luque versus Rafael Dos Anjos, a couple of veterans going at it in welterweight. Then we got Khalil Roundtree Jr., Chris Daukaus, Pollyanna Viena, Yasmin Lucindo, Josh Parisian, Martin Boudet, Josh Fremd, Jamie Pickett round out the main card. Prelims, Juliana Miller, Luana Santos, AJ Dobson, Tafon Nchukwi, JP Bias, Marcus McKee, Francis Marshall, Isaac Dolgerian, Jacqueline Amarim, Montserrat Ruiz, one of Gumby's Mount Rushmore, Cub Swanson, Hakeem Dabodu, that should be on the main card, at least co-main event, and then Damon Blackshear, Brady Heistead.
That fight's not happening.
Oh, that one's not happening.
Okay. No, Damon Blackshear.
Terrence McKinney.
Damon Blackshear is still looking for an opponent, but Brady Heistand is out with a staph infection, if I'm not mistaken.
Wikipedia strikes again. How about Mike Breeden, Terrence McKinney? That one's happening. I just heard
that fight is actually happening. Both of them taking
McKinney
it on
is coming in.
Both of them taking it on short notice, I think. Or no,
is that,
Breeden.
Is that how it is?
Breeden.
Yeah, Breeden was going to fight Lando Venata. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. So we get to have a real question about whether or not Terrence McKinney is as big of a shell as we thought he was of his supposed prospect self, or if he actually has enough in the tank to beat a guy like Mike Breeden.
Short notice can be his excuse, though.
But it's also Mike Breeden.
It's true. It's true. This fight card, not as good as this past weekend's, that's for sure.
No, I don't think so, but there's interesting things there, like Khalil Rountree welcoming Chris Daukaus down to light heavyweight. I'm interested to see what Chris Daukaus at light heavyweight looks like, and I think he's getting a terrible matchup here in a guy who's super fast.
And a guy who's on a nice little run, too.
Yeah, well, and I mean, this is a ranked fight for Chris Daukaus out the gate, right? Yeah. So that's fun. I'm happy that we're getting to see Marcus McGee again. Marcus McGee just coming off of, you know, a short notice fight where he looked incredible. And, you know, hey, I'm pumped for Montserrat Ruiz. That's my girl right there. Also, like, I didn't realize how long she's been away. She's been gone for 2 years. You know, she beat Cheyenne Vliesmas, which is a nice win. Clear 30-27, a not sweaty plus 300 on the money line. And then I remembered she got knocked out real quick in her second fight, and I was like, oh, maybe she's a fraud, and I just should forget about her. And then I did forget about her, and it turns out that loss that happened 2 years ago was to Amanda Lemos. And now I feel a little bit better about it. But who knows? I got to think about her and Jackie Amorim, because Amorim was somebody I was high on, too, and she threw up a dud last time. So that's a weird fight. You know, like, there's a lot of... a lot of weirdness in there. Plus, who isn't happy they're getting to see Juliana Miller again?
It's true. And Josh Breezen, of course, Dan.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, chubby guys. Hashtag chunky guy fight.
Chunky guy fight is true. All right. Enough of you people. Enough of us giving you all this amazing content for free. If you want more amazing content, you can catch us in the Discord. We are at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord in the fights channel on Twitter, SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that account and puts out baseball knockouts as well, if you're interested in that. He's also a Gumby Vreeland, and I'm a Jeff Fox writer. You can get all my MMA writing in your inbox, enter my pick'em contest, and I might start doing some podcasts on there as well, moneymma.substack.com. Gumby does have another podcast, Top Turtle, MMA podcast. Make sure you listen to that. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com, of course, the mothership. Place to go for all our podcasts, all our giveaways. As Gumby's, we always have contests going on. We have one right now for Contender Series.
We almost didn't mention it. Yeah.
The SGPN app, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, and of course, the SGPN app, right?
That's it.
Of course. We're going to be back in your ears very, very shortly, maybe within minutes from the time you hear this, because we have Contender Series week. It's the best time of the year, Gumby. Is going to try to be the Gumby God once again. I'll be riding along with him, Zulfikar, Jeff Fox, along with the great Gumby Vreeland. And we will talk to you very, very shortly. Bye.